Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to a very special edition of Stunt Granny Audio. Why is it special? Why is it any more special than any other show? I don't have a clue. But I think three of the reasons are, I'm Eric, with me is Kevin. Kevin, how's it going?
Oh, it is still going.
Still going and going like a Duracell battery. And the third reason, Jordan is with us. Jordan, what's happening, man?
Not a whole lot. Cold and rocking the EL fudge. Woo!
Oh, my God. I wish.
It's bad news. I shouldn't have, but $1.50 on sale. Can't go wrong.
Oh, my God. Kevin, you ever get the munchies?
Every now and again.
What do you eat when it's time to snack on something?
Cheez-Its.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
I like different varieties. My dog's favorite variety is reduced fat Cheez-Its, actually.
I think those qualify as Scooby snacks at that point. Oh my God. God, I'm jealous of you guys. Oh, I need to go and get some. I'm gonna eat those two things together. I'm gonna call it fudge it.
Cheese El Fudge.
Oh, fuck yeah. Well, let's see. I don't know. We could talk about professional wrestling as well as snack foods, I guess.
Either one. It's a wash.
Yeah. They're kind of the same thing in a way.
Yep.
So you're still hungry even when you're done.
Yep.
There's actually a lot to talk about, though, here in the last couple of days. Since Kevin, did you think that it was going to be such a newsworthy week after you came back from live Monday Night Raw in Columbus, Ohio?
No, I had no idea. I mean, it's been quiet for a couple of weeks here. Like, we just have not had enough people doing stupid things recently, to be completely honest with you. It seems like when they crop up, they come in waves, and then it's like all gone after that for the next 4 months or something.
Right. I think people were behaving themselves because the WrestleMania payday is coming, so.
Well, I tell you what, if you want to talk about stupid people doing stupid things, our primary stupid thing to talk about this week is the announcement that TNA and Spike TV are officially moving Impact to Monday nights starting on March 1st. Oh, my God. If you thought January 4th was a bad idea, wait until March 1st and then from then on. I don't know. Jordan, what do you make of this move?
I was going to ask you guys, are you actually surprised by this in any way, really?
Kevin?
No, I mean, they really seem intent on trying to knock off the big boys for some reason or another. I don't quite understand why.
Because they fucked him over in the last contract deal.
I guess.
According to Spike, I mean, but who knows what that is.
Yeah, oh. This is more of a WWE versus Spike battle than... Yeah,
it is. They're just using TNA. I mean, I thought that if the January 4th did any kind of a decent rating, it didn't even have to be good. If it did decent, then they were just going to do it. So this news comes as no surprise to me at all.
A 1.5 is good for cable, really.
I know. It was actually almost double what I thought it would do.
Yeah.
So
it just so happens that the shows that we talk about, the primary show that we talk about, Monday Night Raw, usually demolishes everything else in the ratings besides football and, the closer.
And SpongeBob reruns.
Oh, yeah, good point. And Hannah Montana.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, and to actually answer your question, though, Jordan, in hindsight, now that I think about it, I shouldn't be surprised. I'm surprised at the stupidity of the move, but...
Again, should you be?
No, yeah,
like
exactly.
Who's involved?
Exactly. And when you think about it, you got a mover and a shaker like Eric Bischoff, and you have a decent businessman in Hulk Hogan.
You'd think
that they would put this decision off for a while, but no, they just do it as immediately as they possibly can.
They aren't dipping their toes in. They're diving headfirst into the shallow end and seeing what they can do. I mean, I don't know what it means ultimately. It's not going to mean anything for a long time. It'll get WWE's attention, but I don't think it'll do a whole lot more than that because really they're so far apart. I mean, this is the company that had Orlando Jordan come in and beat the Pope. So, I mean, you know, they think Orlando Jordan's a star. They aren't going to get very far. So.
Shit, he beat the Pope?
Yeah, clean last week.
Nice.
So.
Oh, that must have been on the first hour.
Yep, good stuff right there. Because, you know, it's not like the Pope is
entertaining. I'm glad I did not see that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, good stuff.
I don't know.
But
Kevin, what do you think WWE's response is going to be to this? This is coming up to WrestleMania. This is like, you know, 3 or 4 weeks before WrestleMania.
Yeah, no, I mean, I said it in my article there. It makes no sense. Like, they should really wait at least until after WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to have everybody on all their programs. I mean, it is going to be, you know, just like they did last year, really. Like, everyone's going to be swapping brands left and right. So, I mean, that's just the worst time to try and get your traction on Monday night. And everything else is still going to be in full swing, too, like just the regular season stuff. Like, if you at least waited until the summer sometime, at least the network TVs would not have their regular programming on Monday nights.
Sure, it'd be reruns. It'd be summer reruns.
Right.
Yeah, wait until mid-May.
Well,
yeah,
you know, wait until WWE's in some sort of lull instead of at their peak every year. It's March every year.
Yeah, this is their hot streak. This is their, like, 3 months, you know, fast.
Right.
They're in the straightaway at this point.
Although I
and
do
they
find
always,
it's...
And they always,
yeah.
They always hit the finish line by at least two lengths. So this is a
yeah.
really dumb idea.
I do for that night or Cheech Chong. So
Cheech and Chong, yeah. Oh, my God.
So, that should tell you how much they're worried.
Right. Yeah. Kevin, good references, by the way, to the Cheech and Chong catalog.
Yeah, I try not to shoehorn too many of them in there, although I did do a decent job of fitting in as many as possible.
Well, let's see. I mean, we can continue talking about how stupid this idea is, but of course, we spent pretty much the entire month of December doing the same thing.
And I mean, if they are getting, I mean, they did get a half a point higher rating, but I think the problem might end up being is that some of those new people, if they don't change their style of writing at all,
mm-hmm.
I started on the style of writing. If they don't change the style of writing, it's going to be a consistent problem. Like, people are going to realize that, like, people break up left and right, that, you know, it's all rerun, rehash stuff from the WWE.
Yep.
And then on top of that, your chances of somebody getting injured on TNA is much higher than it is in the WWE just because they are generally younger. I mean, you know, even though we've kind of complained, the WWE has, for the most part, started to push some younger guys here recently.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, honestly, like, there's a better chance that Jerry Sags gets injured than, let's say, Kofi Kingston.
Yeah. Especially with the Scott Hall around to throw chairs at him.
Yeah, God.
Yeah,
well, and here... No, go ahead. I was going to... I'll go on mine after I'm done.
Oh, yeah. Actually, go ahead. I was going to basically agree, and I was going to bring up a couple other names, but they can wait. Oh, maybe they can't wait if Jordan's phone's going to break up. Well, because I was going to bring up the Honky Tonk Man as somebody who's definitely fragile, but maybe... Okay, there goes Jordan. Hopefully he'll call back in. Honky Tonk Man, 70-year-old ass, can take one of the greatest hits of all time. Let's see. What else? I was also going to make reference to... what the hell was I going to say about this? Oh, that it's going to be exciting for TNA to have... You talked about their writing style. It's going to be exciting for TNA to have 2 hours on Monday nights for Vince Russo to present his fake wrestling.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, their time slot is kind of weird. Are they going to end up, because when Powell first reported it, it was 8 to 10 on Mondays.
Which means it would start an hour earlier than Raw.
Right, and end an hour earlier. And A, they don't... I mean, if you're going to go head-to-head with them, why aren't you just going balls out for it, honestly?
Yeah, no, it's really true. It's not like Spike has a lot of other programming, you know, to combat this. What are they going to show? Oh, what the hell? Maybe, I don't know.
Reruns of Mansters?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some janky-ass show like that they do. Mansers, that's perfect. You know, what are they going to be the lead-in for, like, the ultimate... I don't know what the fucking UFC shows are either. Really, they should put a UFC show on at 8 p.m. Eastern, and they should DNA from 9 to 11. Hey, welcome
God
back.
Damn it. We're in the middle of a blizzard, so my reception just totally died.
Gotcha. Oh. Yeah, you're fading out there for a second. No,
yeah.
I happened to mention, because Kevin said something about their terrible style of writing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, it's a good thing they're going to have every other week live on Monday nights so that Vince Russo can script a bunch more fake wrestling.
Yeah, I know. Fake wrestlers doing fake moves in a fake TV show. Yeah, I don't know how much of my rant was heard, but I'm just saying you can't debut Hulk Hogan every night. You can't, you know. People were tuning in out of the curiosity factor. You're not going to get a 1-5 all the time because you can't debut Hogan and Flair and Jeff Hardy and the Nasty Boys and Orlando Jordan and, I don't know, Bischoff every night, you know? I mean...
How dare you forget Val Venus?
Okay, excuse me.
Wait a minute. Let's not bring up old names.
Why was he in a towel? Why was he in a towel? Why did he come out of the shower if he didn't even wrestle? That's what I want to know.
The man loves taking showers.
Yeah,
the cleanest motherfucker in the locker room, which isn't saying much because of TNA.
It's like saying most soberest man in ECW. Like, that, and that gimmick alone should tell you how out of touch they are. Val Venus was never a big star anyway, and when he was, it was, they thought, like, what was it, 99, 2000? Like, by the end of 2000, his character meant so little, he was in Right to Censor.
Yeah.
Like, they had given up on him 10 years ago.
Yep. Well, and Kevin brought up an interesting point, too, while you were stuck in the blizzard, that they're, according to a report by Powell, the time slot that they're getting is actually, what did you say, 8 to 10 Eastern?
Yeah.
Which technically doesn't put it completely, like, it doesn't put the 2 hours head-to-head with Monday Night.
No.
Which led me to a couple of thoughts. So here's my train of thought with that. One, TNA should have an edgy enough product with its younger wrestlers, other than Jerry Sags, younger core of wrestlers with a guy with some real attitude like Vince Russo writing it, right?
Yeah.
Somebody like Eric Bischoff spearheading this whole new campaign and whatever the fuck else they have going on. They should be pushing for the later time slot, the 9 to 11 Eastern, because that's what their programming style is like. You know, get lighter fare for their lead-in.
Right.
For that earlier hour. And
maybe
then,
they can have... No, it's just going to say maybe they can have Murder, She Wrote or MacGyver lead in, like Raw used to.
Get MacGruber to lead in.
MacGruber.
And then, so that led me to this thought, and I had this thought the other day about the idea that TNA is, like, Hulk Hogan's really trying to make TNA a household name, and Eric Bischoff's trying to get this Monday night time slot and everything. And I got to thinking about, like, what if there was a conversation between two people, one who used to watch wrestling maybe 10, 12 years ago and doesn't really anymore, one who's been a loyal wrestling fan this whole time, watches all the companies that he can. And, like, the first guy is flipping through the TV guide or on the on-screen guide and sees TNA Wrestling. And he's like, did somebody seriously name a company TNA, like tits and ass? And the other guy's like, well, it's total nonstop action. Because, see, they claim to have, you know, nonstop action. Well,
right.
Well, what do they do? You know, like, what is it, like WWE? Oh, no, totally, not like WWE. Oh, well, what do? They've got the women's division. Oh, WWE doesn't have women anymore? Oh, they do, but they're just, you know, these chicks are, they're awesome. They call them knockouts. Why are they hotter than WWE women? Not really.
No.
Oh, so, okay, what's different? Well, they got this big broad named Awesome Kong. She can kick some ass. Oh, will they ever wrestle guys if she can kick so much ass? Well, no, not
no.
Why would they do that? Oh, well, then why would I watch? And then my brain just kept going. The first guy was like, well, what else they have? They're nonstop action, right? Oh, they've got all these new guys. They've got all these new guys. Like who? Well, like Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe, what kind of fucking jobber name is that? No, they've got this guy named Daniels, too. He's great. Daniels? He only goes by one name? Is that like a plural first name, or is that a last name?
There's
oh,
two
no,
of them.
Trust me, these guys are really athletic. Oh, well, hey, I just remembered a guy who was really athletic. Shawn Michaels, is he still around? Oh,
yeah,
he's in WWE. Oh, I really liked him. God, speaking of old guys, though, whatever happened to that old douchebag Kevin Nash? Oh, he's in TNA. It's like the conversation just continued in my head from there.
We need to just have a show on Stunt Granny, Hypothetical Conversations with Eric.
That's what sets TNA apart, is they kind of have some hot broads, and they have a bunch of fucking old guys, and
yeah.
They got a bunch of fucking jobbers. What the fuck? And then they have all old writers for WWE writing for them, rehashing old-ass WWE scripts. Tonight they did the fucking Montreal Screwjob.
Oh, yeah.
And what the fuck else? They do the same video packages because the same douchebag from 10 years ago, WWE, works for TNA now. They're back to a four-sided ring, for Christ's sake. All they've got to their fucking credit is a red bird cage that their fucking guys can't even climb out of.
And then the crowd chants, "This is bullshit," on the biggest night in TNA history, in the first match. That just about killed me. I was laughing so hard. A DQ in a cage match, too, even better.
Yeah, oh, fuck. So. Well, hey, from the same fucking lineage that gave us the first blood steel cage match with Hogan and Flair, where both guys bled like stuffed pigs until someone got pinned.
I know.
Right.
How long before we have the triple cage of doom? That should be pretty good.
Yeah, now as soon as they sign Canyon.
I'm sure. Hell, I'd be, you know. But, and here's the thing that's now, like, driving me nuts, is the guys that the fans in TNA had taken to, your Daniels, hell, even your Wolfie McGee or whatever his name is.
Desmond Wolfie D.
Yeah, Wolfie D. And yeah. It's like these guys that had been TNA staples, other than AJ Styles, all of them are just losing now to the ex-WWF. WCW, whomever, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. I mean, they're basically telling their loyal fans of 7 years, which, I mean, I can't even wrap my brain around that person, but just that, hey, what you rooted for is fucking dumb. WWE's the way to go.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
So, it's just stupid.
Yep. Whew. I need to take a breather. Kevin, any more thoughts?
Not really. I think we've done a good job of flaying them left and right here. So,
oh,
and sadly,
I like it better now. Unless we
do
want to start moving into that whole, at least Vince Russo. I don't know if people, because I didn't read it until you sent me the link about Vince Russo calling it fake wrestling today on his own goddamn blog.
Yep.
Even though he issued an apology, how many guys, like, if he's been working in wrestling for 18 years and he believes in everything that he said in his fucking apology, which was, what the hell was that? To anybody who ever laced up a pair of boots, I am deeply sorry for my choice of words earlier today. Like, for the past 18 years, you've been working in wrestling for 18 goddamn years, and you're still so dumb that you call it fake wrestling.
Yeah.
It's fake sports entertainment.
Well
anyway.
Played, you rogue.
Yes.
Yeah, they're an alternative from sports entertainment. Yeah, you have more fucking talking than the WWE. Thank you very much.
No, total nonstop action, which can have 18 minutes of wrestling in 2 hours. It's also it should not come as any kind of surprise because wrestling never mattered a lick. Go back and watch those Attitude Era shows where Russo was in charge, or any WCW show. There's not hardly any wrestling at all.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's just like storylines and plot because he hates wrestling. He thinks it's fake and stupid, and it didn't surprise me that he would actually come out and say it.
If you heard Hardcore Holly's music hit, you wouldn't expect him to come out and wrestle. You'd expect him to come out and talk about how he's a super heavyweight. And it was a pleasant surprise when you got a wrestling match out of these guys. But you know what?
That worked
then. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and usually like the matches were some sort of gimmick or hardcore match then.
Yeah.
I mean, you hardly ever had one-on-one. Look at WrestleMania 2000. There isn't a single singles match there. I know Russo wasn't there at that point, but still.
It was his lead-in, you know. Obviously, WWE mm-hmm. changed it at their leisure, but you know, because
right.
he was gone like 4 months earlier. But yeah, that's basically the WrestleMania that Vince Russo had laid out. It was kind of like Barack Obama taking over America after George W. Bush's presidency. Like, well, you got to give us a little bit of time to iron out the kinks, get the wrinkles out.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, it kind of worked then. Like, it made for entertaining TV.
Mm-hmm.
But they really, that was just luck. I think a lot of that was pure luck.
Well, and also think about how different that was compared to the shit 10 years earlier. Now we're trying to rehash 10 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just saying, we're rehashing shit from 10 years ago. If they were rehashing everything that happened in 1988 and 1998, then... You know, nobody would have cared.
Oh, yeah, we would have shit all over it like we're shitting all over what they're doing right now.
Right, because they're trying to rehash 1998 and 2010.
Yeah. Well, it's been said before, and I know Dusty said it, Jordan, I know you said it. The idea that if you look 10 years ago, like, okay, say in 2000, if you looked at a
mm-hmm.
video from 1990, if you watch, like, you know, say a month's worth of TV from 1990, it looked so vastly different in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch something today from 2000, it looks exactly the same as what's happening today.
Mm-hmm.
And Vin and Russo, and to a certain extent the McMahons, they're just stuck in this rut. And that means that, you know, you have to evolve at some point. So you can't
right.
just get by on 16 minutes of fake wrestling. Give me fucking 2 hours of wrestling like I asked for.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the writers want. They want 2 hours of wrestling. They're crazy. They're crazy, these guys, I say. Now Vince Russo's Jewish.
Vic Venom.
Yeah.
Always knows what he's doing.
So, Vince Russo's an idiot. Kevin, glad you brought that up.
mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
Taz called him out on it.
Well, and the other thing is that's just amusing as all shit is that he's trying to bring reality to the wrestling product. That guy doesn't have, like, A, it's not even... If he means reality TV by reality, he's not even bringing that kind of quality to wrestling. And
right.
if he means, like, real reality where people are friends for a long time, then maybe break off a friendship or something,
mm-hmm.
then, yeah, he's also wrong on that count. Like, I mean,
you,
I don't know
You mean
how
you don't make
they,
a friend for an hour and then turn on him later?
Yeah, shockingly.
Weird.
Yeah,
I once hit my classmate in the back with a folding chair after the first day of classes.
That's a good man. Yeah,
yeah,
you know what the score is.
Yeah, Russo doesn't get it. Like somebody pointed out, and I wish I could give him credit because somebody pointed this out either on the Torch or on .net. That take a look at the difference between what Russo does and that great promo that The Miz cut a couple weeks ago where he started backstage and then walked backstage and out to the arena where he mentioned JBL talking shit on him and him getting kicked out of the locker room and now he's paid his dues and now he demands and commands respect. That's how you interweave a little tiny bit of reality into a well-crafted storyline with a talented wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, you get his character over by saying people are dicks to him, now he has every right to be a dick. Leave it at that. But no, Russo's the type of guy who tries to drive home all these points, like, oh, he used his real name. This must be a shoot. This isn't
right.
a script. You know, shit like that, and mentioning... I don't even want to get into that because we've said it.
Yeah, exactly. We know.
So,
yeah. He would mention something that 0.1% of the people would know from who read the dirt sheets, and then make a storyline out of it and try to make it like a shocking thing because everybody knows this happened when maybe 40 people do.
But you know what? On the flip side of that, though, maybe 0.1% of the people knew something about Miz backstage a couple of years ago.
Right.
It's the way that information is put to use.
Well, yeah,
really
I'm just saying, yeah, it was brought up in a promo but not made a giant storyline around him or, like, you know, him calling out JBL or whatever.
It was a way for him to embellish his character.
Yes, exactly.
And again,
good
it,
point.
And it was just left there. And yeah, Russo just doesn't understand that. Okay, starting to get a little frustrated here. Funny, what do you think?
Yeah, well, plus we've spent a good long time on TNA.
I did want to mention one other thing about TNA, the possibility of Diamond Dallas Page ever working a future program. This is according to Pro Wrestling Torch. He says, this is a quote from DDP, "Eventually, I am sure at some point in time when they need a guest referee, I may consider it."
That's a definite yes.
That's a definite maybe right there.
Yes, exactly. So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, that is a solid, But to his credit, he's doing yoga. Well, it's yoga for regular guys.
I'm actually ordering that, so
doesn't Powell
I'm
going
to try it. Yeah,
no,
yeah, I know.
Twilling, I think. I think Rich Twilling does it.
I heard a Figure Four interview with Mikey Whipwreck, and he swears by it, too. So anything that's good enough for Mikey Whipwreck.
No, shit. Like that oversized T-shirt with a dragon on it?
Yeah, oh, I got two of those, and I dyed my hair red, and Jim Mitchell just follows me everywhere. So.
If it makes you feel any better, it's good enough for Belladonna.
Nice.
Nice.
Hey, Lee Marshall does it too. Oh, I'm on the road, Weasel. Back to you.
Oh my God.
Jesus. Yeah, that's probably about all the TNA talk I think we need to squeeze in for the night.
Yep.
Let's move on to big WWE news. Some of the wrestlers got in a little bit of trouble.
Oh.
Now, guys. Imagine that, some guys drinking and got busted for it. And let's see. I'll touch on it a little bit because I don't know the details of this. And Kevin, if you want to fill in the blanks, Chris Jericho and Sugar Shane Helms, along with Matt Hardy in some fashion or other, got in trouble in Kentucky. They were arrested on public intoxication. Is that right?
Yeah, in the fine little city of Crescent Springs, which is not too far south of the border here.
Okay.
And what happened is that evidently Helms started probably bitch-slapping everybody in the cab. And it sounds like there were four other people in there with him, along with the driver.
Helms, I'm sure, is too fucking broke that he has to split a cab with people. Go on.
Now, yeah, and he's got to bitch slap everybody because he doesn't have enough fucking strength on his own because he doesn't know what
back,
a
there's a
gym is.
Bitch slap coming through. Yep. God.
So let's see. One
yeah.
of the people he struck was a woman, right?
Yeah. One was a woman. One was evidently her boyfriend or something like that, some no name. And both of them were not, you know, I don't know if they were friends of somebody's or not. And then it was, Matt Hardy and Chris Jericho.
Oh, Lord.
And they don't know what the story is, but Hardy ran.
Which I would love to see his little fat bow-legged ass running down the street. Trying to get away from the fucking cops, like him followed by like five Keystone cops with their clubs in the air.
Matt Hardy will never die, and then just run.
Right.
Matt does not like to be arrested, and just keep running.
Yeah, Matt does not like cardio, not even running this far.
Awesome.
What else? Another. Okay, so Matt Hardy ran.
Yeah, Helms ran, but then came back.
Uh-huh.
And Jericho was there, evidently wandering around the what the fuck was the Circle K? The whole time for one reason or another.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
Exactly.
And
that's the police showed back up.
Was it only Jericho and Helms who were arrested?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Good. And then what I read was they were both released on $120 bond. Do you realize how much that can buy in Kentucky? You can, for $240 combined, you can get like 20 acres off of Mudlick Road. You can be the fucking mayor of Crescent Ranch, Kentucky for $240. That's it. That's why they did this. So they had a reason to pay fucking $120 each. They could buy the co-mayor position. Fucking Crescent Roll,
awesome.
Kentucky.
Crescent Roll, Crescent Ranch. Either one.
Dirtball town, anyway. What is it? Crescent Lick?
Crescent Springs.
French Crescent. Yeah.
Because there are. I actually, my cousin used to live in Kentucky, and she used to live on Mudlick Road.
Awesome.
And
near Hillbilly Jim.
I did a search. I did a Google search for Mudlick Road, Kentucky. Like five towns came up with that fucking street name. So if you're ever in Salt Lick, make sure you stop by the Tip Top Cafe on fucking Mudlick Road. What a fucking state. I'd get drunk too if I were there.
Yeah. Me too. Me too.
Let's see. Kevin, were you the one who said something about WrestleMania payoffs coming up?
No, I did.
Oh, Jordan, that was you. Okay, Jericho's is in no...
He's fine.
He's fine.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy, I don't know.
Matt Hardy and Gregory Helms would be in the Sunday Night Heat, whatever, or the Battle Royal for 40 guys to give them a payday. Those are the only matches those two are ever going to be in.
Probably.
The Cruiserweight, in quotation marks, Battle Royal. Because Matt Hardy's in it, so.
Any other details, Kevin, that were left out of this?
No. The woman wasn't pressing charges.
Okay.
So they couldn't arrest Helms for that portion of it, so that's why they just got him for public intoxication.
Gotcha. I kind of wonder, maybe Jericho was just hanging around the Circle K in case he had someone to slap like he did that broad up in Canada.
Yeah.
the winner,
well, she knew it was coming to her.
She had it coming. Let's see, what else? I don't know, we can move on to Monday Night Raw, I think, at this point. Let's see. Kevin, you already talked about Raw as a live experience, so we can talk about some of the a couple of the happenings on the show. This was the last Monday Night Raw leading up to the Royal Rumble. And Kevin, since you were there, I'll ask you first. What do you think? How do you feel about the build up to the Royal Rumble on Monday Night Raw? Do you think it was adequate for the last flagship show before a major pay-per-view?
No. I mean, it was really kind of weird. Like, we kind of went through the list of what happened, and there was a lot that happened that involved it, but it still didn't seem like it was stressed at all.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, any opinions on that?
Huh?
Huh?
Oh, Kevin. Did I say Kevin? Because I meant Jordan.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Huh?
I'm gonna trim that out so I don't look like an idiot. I have the audio editing software.
Woo! I'm your Commodore 64.
Yeah, no shit.
Basically, I thought they did a better job last week setting up the Rumble. I thought they did a great job last week setting it up. And then this week it was like, okay, just drive a few points home. It was a really weird show. It wasn't unwatchable, but it was just kind of strange. Like the Cena Sheamus with no build, even though it wasn't for a title, just appearing, like, what the hell? I thought Dulé Hill did a fine job, but nobody knew who he was. He was pretty entertaining from what I saw. So I like Sykes, so it's hard to tell. I mean, the writing they give these guys is kind of shitty, too. So.
Well, I have to disagree with you on that. Dulé Hill, he did fine for what he was given, but
right.
It was obvious that they had to call an audible because they didn't have their plan. You know, their plan went awry because of James Rodet's appendicitis.
Mm-hmm.
To have their guest host just be this bumbling fool who just touches a bunch of buttons until fireworks go off.
Yeah, I didn't get the point of that.
There was no point to it other than, oops, there go our original plans. Here's our idea of comedy.
Well, and then the Carlito versus Kelly Kelly, which ended up being Jack Swagger versus Mark Henry. It's like, what?
Yeah.
No, it didn't even turn into Jack. No, it wasn't.
What was it?
Santino came out.
Santino, that's right. I can't remember.
Kelly Kelly. And then before Santino even got into the ring, Jack Swagger leveled
him. That's what it was. I couldn't remember.
Throws him into the ring and then throws him over the top rope. And the crowd, I don't know if I mentioned this when we did our little show there on Monday, Eric, but wow, that crowd could not have been more dead for that segment. Man. I mean, everyone was just kind of looking around like, huh, what the hell is going on here?
Well, Raw has its mid-card, and, you know, 6 months ago we were applauding it, all the parody with Miz and MVP, Swagger, Evan Bourne, all those guys, Mark Henry. And now it's like, okay, now it's starting to come out in the wash. It's like Miz is on his way up, Kofi's made his way up. It's like Swagger's still kind of a jobber, Santino.
No, he's become worse, than Santino.
Yeah, and I don't know, I still love Carlito. I'm glad he's getting the TV time that he hasn't been getting for the last 2 months. But the fact that he jobs to Chris Masters immediately upon Masters' return and turn of the babyface, like, what the fuck is going on?
Right, and I didn't get him dressing like Napoleon Dynamite last week, which made no sense at all and wasn't even funny.
Not at all.
I mean, it's just, I'm just tired of this guest host, this low rent Saturday Night Live they've got going on.
I'm not tired of it, but I just wish that they would be more consistent about what they do. You know, are they all going to be matchmakers? Are they only going to really make one match? Are they going to try to script silly comedy shit for them?
And some of them can book matches for that night. Some of them can't even book matches for that night. Some can book pay-per-view matches. I mean, it's too I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
It's inconsistent.
Yeah.
Because, they announce their guest host the week before, but then every time that they get there, it's like they don't know what the fuck they're doing. It's wouldn't you fill them in on their job duties? Because almost everyone comes in like, oh, well, what am I going to do tonight? It's just like, huh, didn't they, like, give you at least some vague idea as to what you should do? Or maybe didn't you watch it last week after you knew you were going to host it so that you got some idea as to what to do? Like, you know, I don't need that segment of, oh, what the fuck should I do? Hey, you know, if you want to throw in a comedy segment and have them talk to a couple of wrestlers, fine. You know, I mean, there's going to be some interaction in there.
I think the consistency is probably the key. And, you know, some of them are going to wrestle, some of them aren't. I guess that's fine, too. But I'm not tired of it because there's still plenty of places to explore. And it's better than having a heel general manager.
Well, I am tired of that, too.
Give me a fucking guest host with every segment before you give me a general manager that's a heel.
Right. We need Jack Tunney again.
Yeah, he's doing somersaults in the grave in the pipe position right now.
On the take, Tunney.
Jack on the take, Tunney. Back to the topic of this being a Royal Rumble lead-in, though, Kevin. What were some of the things that we had talked about off-air that they tried to do to promote the Royal Rumble that, like you said, just kind of fell flat because it wasn't really that, you know, pushed that hard?
Well, Shawn and Triple H opened up the show talking about how they both wanted to win the Rumble bad. But then you kind of forgot about it afterwards. Mm-hmm. Because they had a match after it.
Yeah. Which is really sad to say that a wrestling match had to distract from the push for the pay-per-view. But it's true. It's
yeah.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they almost could have done it. Well, and plus, it was really... The ending of that match was really weird. Like, why would... I know that Michaels was trying to prove that he wanted to win, or at least that was the point they're trying to make, that Michaels wanted to win the match, so he was saying he was going to win the Rumble, but... What does winning your tag team match on Monday honestly have anything to do with winning the Royal Rumble?
Right.
Other than absolutely nothing.
It's like, oh, shit, we've got to have them wrestle. They're the tag champions, so let's just put them out there. But the tag titles mean so little because Shawn's focused on The Undertaker that it's like, why do they even have the belts at all then? There's no point.
Right. Well,
but,
and Michael Cole, of course, would say that the point is momentum going into this Sunday's Royal Rumble.
Oh, that's vintage Michael Cole right there. So.
Yeah, it's like it's a queef.
The QC.
Yeah, he's a big old QC.
Yeah,
besides, let's see, Michael and Hunter talking. They showed their usual video, I guess. The 829,000 men have been in the Royal Rumble. Steve Austin has eliminated 29% of them.
Well, I do like that they do hype the match. I mean, make it seem that it's important. They didn't really do that last year.
This is the third year in a row they've used the same video package with just updated numbers.
I know. But last year it was so obvious Randy Orton was going to win. This year there's at least a doubt that there's... You know, it could be Cena, it could be Hunter, it could be Shawn, it could be anybody. I mean, they're doing
I think I counted 7 people who could win.
Right.
And that includes Jericho and the Big Show, who are kind of long shots at this point.
That's better than one. For the last couple of years, it's been pretty obvious. So, I'll give them that.
Yeah. I think that is one of the few things that Michael Cole has pointed out that I actually don't want to strangle him for. He's saying how star-studded this Royal Rumble is, and it's like, yeah, like everybody that normally has a title match at this time of the year is, for the most part, in the Royal Rumble itself. It's kind of strange.
Well, that's the good thing about having Sheamus versus Orton. You can leave Cena, Hunter, the big stars in the match. I mean, and even Undertaker, Ray. Undertaker and Ray have already won. Randy won last year, so yeah.
And it allows Batista to be in the Rumble as a new heel. So that's
always
cool.
Yep.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's good. Yeah, it's good that there's some. There's some doubt here because who knows, maybe I'll even watch the pay-per-view now.
I know. I was thinking about it too for a change.
See what else? I don't know.
But the other hype stuff, at least getting back
to
our original point, was Rhodes and DiBiase talked about it, and then Orton when he came into the segment, he mentioned his match.
Yeah.
And was there something else?
The only other thing really was the fact that John Cena came out and laid out.
I don't get that.
Randy Orton. Well, actually, he didn't come out. It was John Cena versus Sheamus, and then Randy Orton came out. And then what do we end the show with? John Cena standing victorious over top of the two guys in the title match.
Like, even my wife, again, who doesn't watch that much wrestling, she goes, why did Cena lay them both out? Aren't they in the title match? Like, that just makes that makes them both look like losers. But it's a heel face thing. I mean, I understand it. But
Cena didn't lay both of them out, though.
Well, but Orton laid one of them out. But Cena's the last one standing is the important thing about the whole deal.
I agree. Because I was thinking that, I'm like, why did Cena, because even when I was walking away from the show, I'd already forgotten right away, and then when I rewatched it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right, Orton really did do that in the first place, but yeah, Cena really shouldn't have been the last man standing in that.
No.
Here's the biggest positive of that, though, is that at least the show didn't end with Triple H lording over everybody, I'm going to win the Rumble. Like, finally, at least. You know, the attention's going somewhere else besides Hunter and Shawn.
Right. I'll give you... can't argue with that.
just to dredge up arguments from 10 years ago.
Yes.
Let's see. The other, I don't know, that's really the majority of the push for the Rumble. Like, I know Miz and MVP talked a little bit, but I don't really recall them talking much about the Rumble itself. They just kind of
forced
the feud.
Well, yeah, because they were just hyping their match, which, it is what it is.
I do like that MVP is dressing up again.
Yes, looking good.
Right.
Casual MVP was not hacking it for me. If they're going to keep him a baby face, he at least needs to still dress up.
Yeah.
That's a nice thread.
And look like somebody who would qualify as a most valuable player.
Yes.
And not just some guy in a breeze right in a crappy singlet. The other thing, though, I don't know, the other good segment on Raw that had nothing whatsoever to do with the Rumble, and in fact might even be detracting from the Rumble itself, was John Cena confronting Vince McMahon over McMahon's cowardice when it comes to Bret the Hitman Hart. This is proof that when John Cena has something good to talk about and something worthwhile to say, that he is a good talker.
Yes, I agree.
You know, I've made the joke many times. 90% of the time, as far as I'm concerned, he's just reading the dollar menu at McDonald's. But now it's like he had some legitimate shit to get off his chest, it sounded like, and he delivered it really well. He's a great talker.
It wasn't his usual fart joke, gay joke, dick joke, intense joke again.
I watch the Smurfs and I take a poop.
Yeah.
Like,
whoa.
Okay, nope, nobody thinks the Smurfs are funny anymore, and poop jokes are stupid.
Yep. So, no, it was good. It was a little, why Cena's saying it, but then it made perfect sense. Like, it was a perfectly well-executed promo. I think they've spent a lot of time on this Bret stuff. The execution hasn't always been there, but the storyline is very slowly moving. But I was wondering how they were going to do it, if they're going to do something at WrestleMania. They had to slow it down a little bit, so.
Well, Kevin, what do you think of the approach that they're taking with this Bret Hart thing?
Yeah, I mean, they may as well take their time and milk it as much as possible here. And I agree. Like, I don't know. I defend John Cena a lot more than most people do. So I really liked that promo on Monday. I mean, if they're going to have a match between those two, which really kind of seems fairly obvious to me.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, they're not going to wrestle at all. They're not going to be involved in tag team matches or anything like that. So, I mean, having some people come in that are still in the company, like The Undertaker last week and like John Cena, and even really Triple H mentioned something to
backstage,
Vince backstage a couple of weeks ago.
The most believable thing he ever said, you McMahon's always going to get the last word in.
Yeah.
he's intimate on that subject. So.
See, Vince Russo, take a fucking hint. That's how you squeeze in a little tiny bit of reality.
Right. That's all he said. And he moved on. He didn't like, because I'm married to your daughter. I mean, he didn't say
like
that. It was implied.
It's not like a goddamn Jay Leno monologue where he tells a joke and then spends 5 minutes explaining it to his dolt of an audience.
So, yeah.
No offense to anybody.
No, exactly it. It was good stuff.
I hope it doesn't detract too much from the Rumble. The Rumble should sell itself. It's one of the top four.
It will.
It's one of the primary four pay-per-views, so we'll see how that
does. One of the primary two now, because SummerSlam and Survivor Series did terribly.
That's true. Good point.
Because they're at least, I'll give them this, they're at least treating the Rumble like it's important. Survivor Series and SummerSlam, they just tried to sell it on the fact that it was Survivor Series or SummerSlam. The Rumble, they're making it, you know, here's the one time a year you get to see this, et cetera, et cetera. So... Yep.
Good point. Let's see. As far as the culmination of all the stuff we talked about here for the last few minutes, Raw did another 3.6 in the ratings, so they're holding steady, I guess. Don't really know what that's worth in the long run. We'll see if things increase on the road to WrestleMania. Speaking of TV ratings, though, and just TV in general, let's see. Kevin, off air, you had said something about some of the wrestlers who've been on TV in the last couple of weeks, of course, John Cena, were under a rock, you probably didn't hear that John Cena was on Psych this week.
he certainly had a much larger role than Mr. Austin did on Chuck this week.
Is that right? How did Austin do on Chuck, anyway?
He was okay, but I mean, he only maybe had a whopping 3 or 4 lines. And
really?
he had a little fight scene with Chuck, which was pretty fun. But again, that was probably 5 minutes or so. Well, no, not even 5 minutes. Like, it's probably like 2 or 3 minutes.
Wow, that's crazy. Because all the promos they showed for it, you know, anybody, even NBC, made it look like he was going to be like the huge guest star of the whole show.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because they did the thing the week before.
Fuck.
Yep. Welcome back.
Yeah, fuck. Okay, yeah. So. Anyway.
No.
I forgot what I was saying.
Good. That was an excellent way to finish Kevin's thought for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it, so.
Yeah.
No. But Cena did a fine job, so, on what I saw.
Okay.
I watched Psych,
so. Fine job. Austin did a short job.
Right.
Yes.
Cena looks like a giant G.I. Joe. He does. Like, take him out of wrestling, he looks like a G.I. Joe. And so to have him play a military guy was fine.
Well,
so.
That was kind of funny, though, is they had people that are a little more size to military size. Like, they don't exactly work out to get giant muscles. I mean, they're
right,
some big guys sometimes. But they're not exactly usually big and hulking like Cena. It's just like, holy
shit. I know.
Yeah.
You'd see him in his child medium T-shirt where his muscles are coming out of his shirt and on every corner, but it's still whatever.
Right, yeah. Like, I can't imagine. No offense, Cena, maybe your cardio is fine, but I can't exactly imagine him running a 7-minute mile with 60 pounds on his backpack, so, yeah. not quite what the Army's building. But yeah, that, I don't know, it's just funny, that kind of led me to thinking of all the other times pro wrestlers had been on TV shows, like, I don't know, like King Kong Bundy on Married with Children.
I remember that. Austin was on Nash Bridges all the damn time, that show with Cheech and Don Johnson.
Yeah,
I don't know why I remember
that,
but he was.
Because it was awesome. Because he was what?
Yeah.
Was Jake something?
I don't remember.
That's funny, actually. Maybe a year from now, maybe Don Johnson and Cheech should get back together and co-host Raw. Use the skills combined that they've learned from their previous stints co-host.
Awesome. A Nash Bridges reunion.
Awesome.
That's what people... That's what the audience is clamoring for. Yep.
Right, yeah. These 7 and 8-year-olds that are buying the Punjabi prison cage made by Hasbro. Fucking white guy from Miami Vice. For some reason, I always think of the Bushwhackers being on Family Matters.
Oh, my God. Vader was on Boy Meets World.
Yep.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of... Topanga.
Haven't thought about her in a while.
Topanga, my wife always calls her sturdy. Like she won't blow over in a windstorm. Thick. Brick shit house. Yep. So.
Thick as a milkshake, fit as a cornflake.
Yep. So.
I don't know. Well, that got me thinking, though, of other wrestlers who should be on TV shows. But the only thing I can think of, though, is that Kurt Angle, he should be on Cops.
Weekly appearance.
Wife beaten.
Oh, my God.
Police officer.
It's real. It's damn real with Kurt Angle.
Oh, my God, yeah. I don't
know. Reliving his escapades. Oh, man. That would be great. I mean, seriously, watch a half-hour show of nothing but, like, the Pope talking. The guy, you know, he's like a street preacher, so Elijah Burke. Yeah, he's really entertaining. That's about it.
There you go. Put just something De Niro on give him Tutuola's job on, like, Law & Order SVU. Make him the new Ice-T.
Might make that show worth watching again.
Oh, yeah. Right. the times there are changing. Fuck, I don't know. It's about an hour. Anything else we want to talk about?
I can't think of anything.
No, unless you wanted to bring up the possible Santino show that's coming up.
Yes, duh, it's right here in my notes. Speaking of people being on TV shows,
yeah.
There's a rumor going around that, yeah, Santino Marella is, he's either pitching it or WWE is pitching it for him, at least at this point, an internet sitcom. Santino, Beth Phoenix, and Vladimir Kozlov in a fucking sitcom. And at least one executive from USA was quoted as saying, I don't know anything about it to see it, but Santino is quite the character. I have no doubt that it could be a funny sitcom.
Yeah, they really could actually do something with that. They'd have to change Kozlov's character somewhat.
Oh God, yes.
Because that interaction was kind of bad. Like I don't think it. I did actually like Santino as a segment host far better than Abraham Washington.
Oh, I've said all along, Santino, if they're not going to use him in the ring, the best way to use him is to give him a talk show segment. He should be hosting Santino's Casa live every Monday night as a as an interview segment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You fucker.
You come back in for the last 3 minutes here.
Yeah, I know.
You're
I
back,
was like, shit.
You back just in time for the sign-off.
I was going to say, do you just want to sign off, be safe, and then Eric and I can wrap it up?
fuck my life. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sorry,
no,
fuck.
No, it's cool, it's cool. No, we were just waxing Santino.
What? About it's like a modern waxing Santino. Now, there's
yeah.
a sitcom.
Yeah, well, we can't wax Santino too much. We need to keep the unibrow.
Exactly.
There you go.
It's like a modern-day Perfect Strangers.
Oh, my God. That's fucking great. He could be the new Balky.
Yeah, get out of the city. Damn straight.
And Vladimir could be the new Balky also.
It's a Balky and Balky show. Awesome.
Yeah, starring Bronson Pinchot in a mirror.
No. awesome.
Fuck that. Oh,
all right.
Good, Kevin. I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good thing to end on. Let's start this thing off by talking about TNA stinking up the joint, and then we can end it on a light note. I appreciate that.
Yeah, very good.
All right. Let's see. How are we gonna do this? I'll draw. Okay, me, then Jordan, then Kevin. All right, everybody. All right. We're gonna call it a show. So everybody, have a good night. Thanks for putting up with us for an hour. Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and put this audio up and go to bed like a chump.
Yeah. Well, thanks for putting up with my blizzardy bullshit. Blizzard. I wish I had a blizzard. But anyway, thanks for listening to me ramble. I'm out.
And I'm halfway through Grandpa's Sippy Time beer, so everybody enjoy your beers this weekend, and I am not, unfortunately, stuck with drinking Yingling. Enjoy.